kids' songs, and I think, you know, when we had a young people's group in Guyana years ago, we used to say anyone can come from 1999. And if you come to the Kids Alive meeting on every other Friday night, you'll begin to feel that way. I thoroughly enjoy being with those young kids when they sing the lovely songs and listen to the Word of God. So they come at 6, I think, for pizza. And then the serious meeting starts at 6:30. Anyway, there's a class for every group. So do come. Now, we'll turn to that familiar portion of Scripture again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 32. And then we also look at Luke chapter 24, verse 44. We read a few verses there. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm aiming at verse 32, but perhaps you could read again verse 31 and 32. But my focus is on verse 32. And then we go to Luke 24, 44. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Gracious Father, we thank thee because thou art wonderful. We thank you, Lord, that you came into this world because you loved us. You sent your Son. He loved us. And he came to take away our sins, that we may have undying joy in our hearts with the knowledge of sins forgiven. We thank thee for your love. And we ask of thee to bless us as we read your word together this morning. And, O Father, open our eyes to behold the precious truths contained therein. And we ask not only for our little gathering here, but wherever your name is uplifted, bless those who gather, that they may see you, love you, look for you, and live for you. We ask these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God, giving none offense neither to the Jews nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Luke chapter 24, verse 44. The Lord Jesus Christ had appeared to all the disciples at this time after his resurrection. And he said these words in verse 44, beginning there. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And the Lord will bless our hearts, the reading of his word, as he has promised. We've been considering the question of these groups of people which God deals with, with which God deals in this age. the Jews, the physical descendants of Israel, the Gentiles, all those who are not the physical descendants of Israel. By Israel, you know what I mean? The grandson of Abraham. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his name was changed by the God himself to Israel. From his line, the line of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ came. He died and he rose again. And those who trust in him, from either the Israelites or the Gentiles, come out and form the church, the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. And God deals with these three groups in three different ways, distinct ways. Sometimes we tend to blend them together. But the scriptures are very clear on this. Nonetheless, we find the Lord Jesus Christ is involved with all three. For the Jews, he's the one they look forward for as the Messiah, the deliverer, the one who will set things right. For the church, he is the bridegroom, as it were, the one whom sinners recognize came and loved us and gave himself for us. We trust in him. He makes us his own. He's gone to heaven to prepare a place for us. And he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. And he will come and snatch us from this world and take us to be with him. A real picture of the Jewish wedding in olden days. And each one of us can be part of that bride, part of that group that will be snatched away from this earth when we place faith in Christ. But if we hear the word, we neglect it, or we reject it, and remain in that category of people called the Gentiles, or the heathen, or the ungodly, we shall stand before him one day. He will then be the judge. So you have those three groups and those three ends. But when we met Jesus at first, he came to the Jews. He says he came unto his own, and his own received him not. In Matthew chapter 15, it says, I am not sent but to the lost house of Israel. He came unto his own. As the disciples gathered around him and listened to his voice, they all saw and recognized that some of them, that this was the Christ. And they looked forward for the time when the King of righteousness will set up his kingdom. You remember when they sat by the Mount of Olives, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him in Matthew 24 and 3, could you tell us the signs of your coming? What will be the signs of your coming? In Acts chapter 1 and verse 6, they asked, will thou at this time restore unto us the kingdom of heaven? They were anxious. They behaved as we behave, as children behave. Are we there yet? Several times in the Old Testament and in the New, questions were asked, how long Why do we have to wait? We want it now. Maybe it's a natural thing in the hearts of impatient people. But God never fails to keep any of His promises. His word is always true. There was another guy who I think got anxious as he waited on God's promises. I want us to turn to it in Daniel chapter 9. Israel had sinned. They were taken away captive. But even while they were sinning, God pronounced judgment on them and said they would have been taken away to Babylon for 70 years. Among those people who were taken to Babylon was a young man. His name was Daniel. He had seen much in Babylon and had risen to a position of prominence. But that 70 years was fast approaching. And he didn't see any movement towards their going back. And so early in that chapter, chapter 9 and verse 2, it said, in the first year of his reign, that's the reign of Darius, son of Ahasuerus, I, Daniel, understood by the books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. God said so. You'll be taken away for this period. Jeremiah alone spoke of this. You find that one of those references in Jeremiah 29, verse 10. Let's look at them, because we're looking at quite a few Old Testament verses here. But don't lose Daniel. We're coming back to Daniel 9, maybe several times this morning. Yes. Verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform the good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. So God said, you're coming back in 70 years. And Daniel probably didn't see any movement there. And he wondered. And he came before God in earnest prayer. You look at some of those prayers just now and why he prayed this way. You see, Daniel was a natural Jew. He missed his land. A land of joy, a land of peace, a land of happiness. Look at chapter 25 and see what happened there. Chapter 25. And I'll probably take you another chapter to see what he was yearning after. It said there, verse 10. It's a judgment. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of myrrh, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, and the sound of millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. It shall come to pass, when 70 years shall be accomplished, I will punish the king of Babylon. And he did exactly that. Again, a picture of what Daniel yearned for. Jeremiah 7. The promise of judgment, what he promised to take away. Verse 34, the last verse in Jeremiah 7. Then I will cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of myrrh, the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the bride, and the land shall be desolate. So God was saying, this is what I'm going to do to these people. Remember when we talked about the role of Israel and Israel's hope? We pointed out that the hope of Israel was their exaltation and their peace and their prosperity in this life. On this earth, when the lamb and the lion will sit together, when the child will put his hand in the snake's nest and nothing will happen. Everything will be peaceful, for everything will be done in righteousness. And this is what they yearned for. But what was the trouble? Why was Daniel concerned? For a moment, let's see what the other people thought. Jeremiah 40. Patient with me, I'll come back to that. Daniel just now. Jeremiah 40. No, they were being taken captive. And this is what happened. Verse 2. I wish you could read verse 1, but verse 2. And the captain of the guard took Jeremiah and said unto him, the Lord thy God had pronounced this evil upon this place. And now the Lord had brought it and done as he said. Because ye have sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed his voice, therefore this thing is come upon you. Their captivity, their trouble was because of their sin. And of all people, to whom did the captain speak, this Gentile captain? He spoke to Jeremiah. Jeremiah was preaching for years that the people should turn from their sin and worship God, but they were not hearing. But yet, he told Jeremiah that. This is why Daniel prayed in the way he prayed earlier on. This is what he said. Go back to Daniel now. Let's go back to Daniel. Verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God, to seek by prayer and fasting and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly and have rebelled in departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Please, if you haven't read it recently, read the whole chapter. You'll see Daniel's earnest confession, identifying himself with the sin of the people. The thing that caused the trouble. The thing why I'm here. I've been faithful all these years, but I'm part of the whole deal. And he was confessing it. Just as the captain of Nebuchadnezzar's guard told the prophet Jeremiah, you people did this thing wrong. So Daniel fasted and prayed that this land may be restored. He prayed for a long time. And as he prayed, God answered. Slip down the line to verse 20. And whilst I was speaking and praying and confessing my sins and the sins of my people Israel, and presenting my supplications before the Lord my God in the mountain of, for the mountain, holy mountain of my God, and whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel that seen in the vision at the beginning caused, being caused to fly swiftly and to touch me about the time of the evening oblations. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplication, the commandment of the Lord came forth, and I am come to show you. For thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the vision. Now note verse 24. 70 weeks are determined unto thy people. Pause a moment. Please hold there. 70 weeks. What on earth is he talking about? To grasp this, let's pause a minute. Please hold it. Leviticus 25. We consider a week of 7 days. Yes, God uses that, all right. But if you look at Leviticus 25, I'm not reading the whole chapter. I'm just pulling up 2 verses from it or so. And please read the whole chapter to grasp what he's saying here. Okay, verse 3 says, 6 years shalt thou sow thy field, and six years shall thou prune thy vineyard and gather thy fruits. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land. This is the tenor of this particular portion, where he's looking at years and treating them as days. And this is the same picture he gives to Daniel. Let's go down the line for a wee bit. Probably verse 8. And you shall number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee. 7 times 7 years. And the space of 7 Sabbaths of years shall be to thee 49 years. So when God is saying it to Daniel, to the angel said to Daniel, 70 weeks. He was speaking of weeks of years, not 7 physical days, but 7 years. And incidentally, when he spoke of years, he was speaking years in a different calculation, not so much solar, but lunar years, because they considered a month to be 30 days. And if you want to talk about that, we can talk about it sometime. But this is it, 7 years like that. So let's go back to 70 years. Daniel 29 and 24. 70 years are determined, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon the city to finish transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the holy place. That's what God is saying. He is addressing in 70 years, 7 to by sing, that's 490 years. He shall accomplish this. So Daniel listened to what he was saying. I'm not going through this whole thing this morning. All I'm looking at this particular verse. And he was addressing initially sin. Did you notice those 3 words used there? To finish transgressions. Transgressions as well, jumping the major road. I know I should stop, but I have no intention of doing it. God says do this, but I'm going to do something else. Transgressions.
to finish transgressions, to make an end of sin, put away sin completely. He was speaking to the Jewish people. We can interpret this and apply this, what have you, as if he was speaking to the church. But this was a message to Daniel to address something Daniel had been posing to God. The last thing he said, to make reconciliation for iniquity. Did you see? That is wickedness. Wickedness. Clear wickedness. On the form of it. That is what Daniel was praying for. Go back to verse 5 of Daniel 9. He used those same three words, you know. In a sense, he didn't see iniquity. We have sinned. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. We have jumped the major road, rebelled. We did our own thing in departing from your precepts. The very things Daniel was praying about, God says, I'll solve that problem. And when that problem is resolved, I'll bring in the peace you're looking for. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ came. The branch that was established to bring in righteousness. And he came. And when he came, what happened? They rejected him. They wanted nothing to do with him. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. I'm going to fast forward just a wee bit. Just a wee bit. Just to make the point that God will address all these things in a day to come. For a moment, glance at Zechariah chapter 12. It's after Daniel. I don't think we're coming back to this because of time. Zechariah chapter 12. Verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications, and they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one that mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And in that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of, I didn't check that word, in the valley of Megiddon. And the land shall mourn every family apart, and every family of the house of David apart, and their wives apart, and the family of the house of Nathan apart, and the wives apart, and the family of the house of Levi apart, and their wives apart, and the family of Shammai, you remember that name, Shammai with David, and their wives apart, and all the families that remain, and every family apart, and their wives apart. And in that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and iniquities and uncleanness. Next verse says, you won't remember them anymore. Because God, in that day, will make an end of the sin. In that day. A day to come. You know what is precious? That God loves us. God loves you and God loves me. While the Jews are stubborn now and are not yielding to it, in that day they will repent of their transgressions. Looking at Christ and ignoring him. They shall repent of their transgressions. They shall repent of their sins. Trying to do it and you can't make it. I didn't mean to tell a lie, but I lied. I didn't mean to steal, but it's in my pocket.
They'll repent of their wickedness when they set out like Ahab to commit wickedness. God will cleanse them. That's a day to come. But do you know what? God tells you and me now that today is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. This is why we read that portion in Luke chapter 24. Let's glance at it just a wee bit again. And after that, we may look at two other verses in St. John. Luke 24. It said, verse 46 says, "For thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and then to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins be preached to all nations." God wants to forgive every sin if we are willing to turn from it. God can cleanse whatever we've done if we come before Him with sorrowful hearts. God doesn't save us and said, "Continue doing what you want. God, I want to do this and I don't want to stop, but save me." It doesn't work that way. We've got to see our sin, agree with God that our sin is sin and will cause our death, eternal death. And then, when we look to Christ that died for sins, we can have remission of sins. This is what the beauty of it all. And remission of sins will not be preached to the Jews alone. Remember in Matthew chapter 15, he said, I'm not come but to the lost house of Israel. And then John 12:32, he said, "And I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me." And here he said, what? This remission of sins must be preached to all nations. To me, to you, to each one of us. And when we hear it, we have an instant responsibility about it. I don't remember all the things I heard last week, nor the things I heard 10 years ago. I don't remember all. I don't remember what I said last year. But God said, every idle word I say, I'll have to give an account for it in judgment. I don't remember all those idle words. But God will ask you why. Similarly, you will account for the things you hear, whether you accept it or reject it, forget it or else. Look at this odd verse found in John 12. I want you to look at it because it blew my mind when I saw it. I mean, it really affected me. John 12. Verse 47. Verse 47 and verse 48. You can probably memorize these two things. Verse 7 said, Jesus was speaking, he said, "If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejects me and receives not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." Got it? You might say, that's not important, I don't care. And you forget what God said in his word. You might forget this meeting. But God said, in the last day, this word will be brought back to you if you reject it. This same word. Then the second thing it tells me here, that you'll be there in the last day. If in the last day it will judge me, that means I'll be there. Some people think that when I'm dead, I'm done.
That's the end of the story. No way.
The same will judge you in the last day. So, you got to behave like Daniel. Things might not be the way we like them. But if the captain of a heathen guard could tell the prophet Jeremiah that your people are in trouble because they were disobedient, they disobeyed God. And as Jeremiah wrote this, Daniel saw it. And Daniel said, "We're sorry, we confess our sins, our iniquities, our transgressions. God forgive us." And God took the initiative and promised him that all their sins will be removed in that day. They'll be restored to peace and to righteousness. But for you and for me, the opportunity is now. Both to hear and to share. Because you noted that verse in Luke chapter 24. He said, speaking to his disciples, "Ye are witnesses of these things." As we experience God, as we know of his love, by his grace, let us live for him in his power and share him as he directs us and he empowers us. God wants to work in your heart and my heart day by day that glory should be brought to his name. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you because you are marvelous. We can't grasp all the way you work, but we know that wrapped up with you is all wisdom. And as we can't grasp it all love. We don't deserve your love. We don't deserve your grace. We don't deserve your mercies. We deserve judgment. But, O Father, we thank you that your love, grace, and mercy allowed you to send your Son, that he died for all our sins, that we can do now what Israel will do then, mourn because of our sin, as one that mourned for the loss of his firstborn. Draw us near to yourself. Help us to love you, dear God. Help us to love your Son. Help us to love the Word. Help us, O God, to live for you. And, O Father, help us to look for you. For we ask these things in the name of thy Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Selected 131 reminds us of his goodness. He loved us and he died for us. Yeah.